This is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm your host, Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is Into the Calderon staff writer, Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. Rob stops by for his standard Monday appearance on the program where we discuss Atletico's 1-0 win over Celta Vigo at Balaidos on Sunday. We debate the merits of an unsatisfying win, which we both agree this was for Atletico. Outshot, outpossessed, both by a wide margin, but still holding on to get the 3 points and extend their unbeaten run in La Liga this season and their unbeaten run away from home in La Liga dating back to last season. We'll analyze Diego Simeone's substitutions and try to find a role for Nico Gaitán, the embattled Atletico midfielder. You'll be surprised when we find one. Also, news items, Liga banter, Copa chatter, Atletico traveling to Elche on Wednesday to take on the Segunda side in the Copa del Rey round of 32. We'll discuss what Simeone's team may look like as the Copa gets underway a bit earlier this season, as the final has been moved back to its once standard April slot. Before we continue, Colt Gennaro Chat can be found on your podcasting platform of choice. If you do like this episode, we encourage you to head over to iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, TuneIn. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It really helps the podcast's visibility. And finally, patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat is the place to be if you're interested in becoming a patron, getting some exclusive content, including behind-the-scenes photo, behind-the-scenes video of the podcasting process, even a Patreon-exclusive episode centered on an Atletico topic of your choosing. Also, early access to select episodes of the program. Not this one in particular, but other episodes will be made available to you earlier than non-patrons. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. Yeah.
Have you seen expected goals map for this game? It's wonderful.
Oh, did Kaylee tweet it? I never saw it.
He did indeed. I'll DM it to you because it's from from 18 hours ago.
Okay, but yeah.
It's, no, man, it's a masterpiece to look at.
Okay. Here it is.
Says it all. There you go.
Wow.
That's tremendous, isn't it?
Biggest chance of the game was finished. Other than that,
Yeah. Yeah, look at those sweet, sweet four chances. 90 minutes, and that's all we could come up with, eh?
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in relatively great detail. But
As much as we can.
You know, as much as we can before, you know, we want to cut our throats out.
Yes.
But before we do that, let's do the whip around.
Woohoo!
And a quick, I guess, personal note. I've started doing a written roundups called La Liga Thoughts there at everydayislatande.com. It's another football site that I write at. So check out La Liga Thoughts every week, every Tuesday, everydayislatande.com. It's my baby, so check it out. All right, let's start with Saturday. There were no Friday games this week in match day 9. Levante and Getafe playing out a 1-1 draw. I think that's a pretty good point for both sides, who are now settling around the mid-table area. Levante in 12th, Getafe in 13th. Real Betis notching a 2-0 win over Alaves. Alaves still mired in the drop zone. I think they're going to be there for the rest of the year as Betis notch their 5th win of the season. Valencia 4, Sevilla 0. Valencia are just on another planet, Rob. The way they're playing is just absolutely outstanding. Gonzalo Guedes in particular has been a revelation. They're just pounding the snot out of Sevilla in this game. And Sevilla aren't very good, I don't think, but still.
Yeah, Sevilla flattered to deceive, but I do distinctly remember saying last week, I don't think Valencia are like Monaco were last year, and then they can just endlessly keep scoring goals.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. That might not be true.
We'll see. I mean, only Barca scored more than them. And Barca is at 26 goals. Valencia are at 25.
Mm. So. Yeah, I'm sure that they're going to be desperate to get Gonzalo Guedes to sign on permanently from PSG because he's been immense this year for them.
Yeah, that's not happening. I hate to tell Valencia that, but I don't think it's happening if he keeps playing like this.
Yeah, not the club you want to negotiate with, yeah. PSG.
Barcelona 2, Malaga 0. A controversial win for Barca, whose opening goal should not have counted, but it counted anyway. Not like it would have mattered, as Malaga are, well, Malaga. They are rock bottom, 1 point from 9 games. Michel is a dead man walking. They're already 5 points adrift of safety. I wonder how much worse this can get for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange one, because, you know, I don't know how bad Michel is, but that squad is pretty horrendous. And it was bad last year, and they did pretty much nothing to fix it and lost their most important players.
When they appointed Michel, they started playing a lot better. I think their last 6 to 8 weeks were really, really good. But then he lost all his talent. I don't think this is a Michel issue. I think this is an institutional issue where Malaga just sold their best players and didn't really replace them at all. This is what happens when you do that.
I mean, when you lose a player like Nacho Camacho, who's not exactly the best player in the world, but he was hugely influential for Malaga.
I mean, they lost Nacho. They lost Fornals. They lost Sandro. They lost their three best players. And they lost Kameni, who had been a solid keeper for them for a few years. So they were four
especially against Barcelona. Yeah, especially against Barcelona. They would have been fine.
Yeah, oh yeah, this would have been 1-0 Malaga, for sure, if he'd been there.
Without a doubt.
On Sunday, Villarreal notching a 4-0 win over an increasingly concerning Las Palmas side.
Vitolo's Las Palmas adventure has not been going well.
Yeah, it's not really a... And this isn't all Vitolo's fault. It's not a great reflection on him that he is currently plying his trade at a team in the drop zone.
Yeah, no, that doesn't look too good. I mean, they've had a lot of overhaul from last season, a lot of new players, new coach, so, you know, you can give them a bit of a breather, but
I think so,
they need to pick up points.
Badly, and they need to stop conceding goals. They've conceded 22 over 9 weeks.
Yeah, that's quite poor.
Yeah, and they don't really have a style anymore. Like, under Setien, you could say that, you know, they had a certain way of playing, for better or worse, and now they don't even have that, so... Difficult times at Las Palmas right now. Leganés, though, no difficult times there. They beat Athletic 1-0. Did you see Beauvue's goal?
I didn't, actually.
It was sensational.
This game looked like the most boring thing in the world.
It was sensational. You gotta see it.
All right, I'm gonna have to find it.
It was, like, one of the goals of the weekend. Like, you don't expect Leganés to be doing that, but they went and did
it. I certainly didn't.
No, they are now up to fifth, incredibly. Like, this has been an incredible start for them.
Yeah, been a great start for the, what are they, cucumber farmers?
Cucumber growers. Name is? Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man. All right, I'm watching this goal. Oh. All right, he goes on a nice little run through the midfield. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice.
Told ya.
Top corner. That's sweet.
Yeah, Kepa had no chance. It was a beautiful goal.
And Capo's a good goalkeeper.
He's really good, yes.
He's one of those to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Athletic, not so great for them. They've won just 3 of their first 9 games. They have a goal difference of 0. Yikes.
Yep. Yeah, one of the many La Liga clubs to lose their coach over the summer, so.
Yeah. Finally on Sunday, Real Madrid 3, Eibar 0. Eibar still really struggling. They've scored only 3 goals in 9 weeks. That is the joint lowest in the league. Real Madrid didn't play especially well, but they didn't really need to. They are now up to third. The Monday games, as of time of recording, Real Sociedad and Espanyol are playing. It's 1-0 to Espanyol at halftime. Deport and Girona play a little later in the day. All right, so now let's circle back and talk about the one result we didn't get to in the whip around. Celta Vigo 0, Atletico Madrid 1. That is Celta 0, Atletico 1. So... Let's start this conversation by... Well, I'm going to throw a theory at you, and you're going to tell me if I'm crazy or not.
All right.
I think this is more in the world of sports, not necessarily just football. I think especially in football, but you see this in American football, basketball, baseball, etc. I think there is such a thing as an unsatisfying or a win that still leaves cause for concern. There's a certain... segment of fans, a pretty wide segment of fans that says, oh, you just gotta win at all costs. Doesn't matter how you do it, doesn't matter how pretty it is, you just win. Normally, Atletico fans fall into this category. because, you know, let's face it, Atletico don't always play very pretty football, but still manage to churn out the results. But there's another segment that says not only do you have to win, but you have to look at least competent doing it, right? At least somewhat good doing it. And I kind of fall into the latter with this one. I think you will agree, Atletico did not play very well on Sunday.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think despite the result, there's still the same worry signs that we had last week. And it really wouldn't have mattered what the result was. There still would have been some concern on my end for sure.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy. That's good. That's always good to
know. You were definitely not crazy, no.
So Atletico did get the win, although they didn't really deserve it. Koke and Carrasco did not play. Koke still dealing with a muscular edema. And then Carrasco had a bit of a knee irritation, so he didn't play either. Now, ordinarily, that would be cause for celebration because Atletico won without two pretty important attacking players. But yet we look at this game and we see Atletico get outshot 19-4. We see Atletico manage just 33% possession and somehow walk away with a 1-0 victory. How did Atletico walk away with this victory at Balaidos on Sunday, Rob?
I think they did an okay-ish job in the first half, making some pressure on Celta, and then after they scored the goal, I mean, genuinely, that was it. That was the extent of them trying, really, to go forward. They kind of half-heartedly made a couple counterattacks, but, I mean, really, after they scored the goal, they were just like, all right, we're shutting up shop. We know we can't score goals. We're just not going to concede.
I'm not sure it was entirely intentional for Simeone to say, right, 29th minute, we've gone ahead 1-0, let's shut it down. I'm not sure it was totally that, but there was a clear like shift after halftime where he said, right, we're just going to try to lock this thing down as best we can and pray we don't concede. And it worked. His plan worked. Amazingly.
I think even in the minutes after the goal, they looked a little bit nervy and kind of like, all right, let's just hold on to what we got until halftime. And then that kind of continued after the break.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about the positives, though, first. Jan Oblak was amazing.
He always is.
He always is. He made 8 saves. I think 3 of them were like of the really like top-notch quality, especially that little grab of Guidetti's back heel in stoppage time, which I thought was going in the net.
And he just makes difficult claiming of corners and set pieces just look so ridiculously easy because he's such a so tall easy. Dude and can just bust through people to grab the ball.
Right, he's tall and he's lanky. He's crazy athletic. That's why we call him the Oblaktopus. He's just crazy athletic. And he, like you said, he makes this look so easy. He was so comfortable. And these were difficult saves he was making. And Celta just came so close, but... I guess you could say that they have 19 shots, 8 on target. You got to finish like one of those chances.
Yeah, I mean, none of them were particularly like shocking that they missed, but they had a large number of kind of chances, and they probably should have scored one. I was expecting them to be totally honest. I thought in the last 10 minutes especially that they were going to break through.
Oh, yeah. Looking at Kaylee's goal chart that you sent, they didn't have any like gigantic chances.
No, they just had a lot of little ones.
Yeah, they had a lot of chances, which has surprised me because, you know, I thought a couple of those chances, particularly Maxi Gomez in, like, the final 15 minutes when he just completely did Stefan Savic.
Yeah. That one could have been a bigger chance, maybe. But I think also the added heart rate of it being the last few minutes makes it seem like a bigger chance. Maybe.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. Kevin Gamero scored his first goal of the season. It turned out to be the winning goal from a Gabby corner. It was deflected at least once. I think Sergi Gomez had the second deflection, and it fell right to Gamero, who made no mistake with a really acrobatic finish from just a couple yards out. Turned out to be the winner, and really happy for him. Really good sign that he scored.
Yeah, and I think he played fairly well. I think he was kind of handcuffed a bit. I don't think he had the best service in the world. I thought bringing him off was weird as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get there. But especially the finish for his goal, I thought was pretty exceptional. I mean, he had to contort his body a lot to get his foot to the ball.
He had to turn and really lash it in the goal because it was right in front of Sergio Alvarez. He really had to lash this ball in.
And there was a lot of power on that ball.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. I mean, that thing was clobbered.
Woof.
Yeah, that was a woof, kind of smash it into the back of the net. And granted, he was a yard or two away from goal, but he
right.
was still.
He looked a lot yeah. more. He looked a lot more comfortable than he did in Azerbaijan. Well, no one looked very good there, but he looked comfortable here. Just 15 touches in 60 minutes and the one shot, but he was a threat, and that's important.
Yeah, and I think Atleti really had a problem with their attack in this game in particular. Their counterattacks kind of looked disjointed. I mean, I wrote about this in the match report. It's like it seemed to me that a lot of their passes were behind players, which took a lot of the venom out of the counterattacks, and it really kind of it created less opportunities for the front players, which may be why it was such a lame game to watch from an Atleti perspective.
Yeah, and when the game ended, I saw some writers say that this was a vintage Atletico performance, and I disagree with that, because if this were a vintage Atletico performance, Celta would have had about 9 shots and like 2 on target instead of 19 and 8.
Right, and they would have been from all outside the yeah. box. And yeah.
Celta had a lot of touches in the final third, a lot of touches from around 18 to 22 yards out. Atletico, vintage Atletico would not have allowed that. Celta played really well. Celta just could not finish their chances.
And Atletico also would have had more than 4 shots, because they right. would have been actually competent on the counterattack.
Right,
and
2 shots on target, Gamero's goal, of course, being one of them. And the shot that generated the corner which led to Gamero's goal was the other shot. So both Atletico shots on target came within about 60 seconds of each other.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
that was pretty amazing.
That's encouraging.
That was about the size of it.
Yeah. I thought Griezmann played well. He had a little bit more service, which, of course, led to him being a little bit better. He had a free header with about 15 minutes to go from a Saul cross that he really should have buried.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he played well. Better performance for him. And he's drawn some criticism this season, you know, both from us and from, you know, from others. But, yeah, you got to consider, as Robbie and I talked about last week, that the system right now is so messed up that he's not getting any service, and he has to create for himself, essentially, as well as create for others.
Right, and he is one of these players, and kind of, if you're not paying attention, you won't see him that much, because he doesn't often get a huge amount of touches, but in this game I think he was a lot more noticeable than he has been in the last few weeks. Like, say he had the shot that led to the corner, and then he had the free header, but I think he's looking better. I hope this is kind of a sign that he's playing himself more into form. I want to see him take a lot of shots in a game, just because he's Adelaide's best attacking player by far, so just kind of give him the ball and let him do his thing.
Yeah, it's just, I can't see a scenario where that is a thing. Like, you want him to go, like, all Cristiano on someone. Like, you know, 10 shots and 4 on target.
Right.
Yeah, and just, that'd be awesome.
But it's not set up this way.
It's just not set up
that way. The team, unfortunately.
It's just, unfortunately, not, yeah. Saul was awesome, but we've come to expect that. Like, I wrote this in my player ratings. He is, like, given an increasingly free role to just do whatever the hell he wants. And it's great, because he's dribbling around hapless defenders. He's, you know, pinging long balls in, leading the team in tackles and interceptions. He just does everything. He's awesome.
And he played all across the park today as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he did.
He swapped with Correa on the wings a bunch, you know, whatever sense that makes, I don't know, but, you know, it did happen. So, yeah, I think he had another good game as well, which we're coming to expect at this point.
Yeah, he can just play anywhere and do anything. Lucas slotted in at left back, although Felipe came on at the end of the game, which was very interesting. Lucas started at left back, though, and listen, he's not really a left back anymore. He's a center back now, but he still cleaned up. He still did a good enough job, especially with Savage not playing his best. I thought Godin was really solid, but this wasn't his best game either. And Juan Fran was just gassed after about 60, 70 minutes.
I mean, that right side of the defense is just, man, when you have Savage and Juan Fran over there, you can get absolutely roasted. Sisto is having an absolute field day against those two that just have no pace at all.
I think Juan Fran handled himself really well until Emre Mor came on, and Emre Mor just cooked him.
Yeah, he will do that.
Yeah, he's really fast. I didn't think he was going to play. He was not expected to play, but he came on and just roasted Juan Fran. I thought for sure he was going to create a goal, but luckily for Atletico, he did not. All right, let's talk about this then. Angel Correa has not scored in half a dozen games in all comps. He looked lively on Sunday. But just no shots. Again, hasn't scored in six in all comps. It's been a month without scoring for him. Should Kevin Gamero return to the starting 11, or is it too soon to say?
I think it's worth a go. I mean, clearly it worked in this game. I think it's the same thing we've been talking about the whole time. It's like none of the forward players that we have, none of them are going to convince at all times. All of them are going to have dips. And you just kind of, I think probably the best course of action at this point is just ride whoever's hot. If someone gets hot, just keep on them. Correa was hot to start the season. He's kind of cooled off a little bit. I assume he'll probably get some of his form back. Vieto's never had any form for Atletico, so just chuck him out the window. So yeah, Gamero. Might as well go for him.
Might as well.
For his next little bit. Yeah, sure, why not? What can we lose? It's not like we're scoring anyway. So, can't hurt anything.
I've said this and I've written about it before. Gamero deserves a chance. And he partnered with Griezmann, and everything kind of looked disjointed going forward yesterday, but, you know, he scored. And without him, this would have been goalless, or this would have been a Celta loss. I mean, that's, like, literally, because he scored the only goal of the game. So I think it is worth a shot to keep him out there.
And I think the other positive with Gamero is that last year, and sort of with Sevilla as well, I mean, he kind of bullies the sort of mid to lower table teams. So I think kind of throwing him out there against sort of teams of that range just to beat them, I think wouldn't be a bad idea, because Atleti needs some kind of attacking output in those games. And even if he hasn't really shown it in big games, it doesn't matter if he can score against small teams, because those points count just the same. So
let's talk about Simeone's subs and hashtag rotation watch.
Oh, yeah, fun times.
So Gaetan was the first one. He replaced Gamero on the hour, which I think was a little harsh on Gamero. We'll play a little game inside this rotation analysis. Let's try to find a use for Nico Gaetan.
Okay.
Last season, I think his best quality by far was his ability to create chances. He led everyone in created chances per 90 minutes. I think he was around 2.5 per 90 minutes. All right, so you think, okay, maybe he's up there again. Maybe that's why Simeone keeps playing him. Gaetan has created one chance per 90 minutes this season, per who scored.
That's bad.
That's not even in Atletico's top five. Yannick Carrasco, in fact, is Atletico's leader in key passes created per 90 minutes.
Well, at least Gaetan's scoring bucket loads of goals, right?
Let's take a look at goals per 90 minutes. Zero.
Oh, ouch. What a shame.
So you think, well, he's not making key passes. He's not scoring. How about his shots? Maybe he's getting chances. You know, maybe he's looking, he's trying to find opportunities. And surprisingly, Gaetan is third in shots per 90 minutes, 2.6.
And that is actually not anything to sniff at. I mean, you could say he's been a little bit unfortunate, I guess.
Yeah.
With this finishing, but you know, when he hasn't really finished ever in La Liga yet, it's kind of hard to believe that he's going to turn that around.
Yeah,
he might,
particularly that one chance against Athletic when he really should have scored.
Right. Right.
But Gaetan is third in shots taken per 90 minutes at 2.6. That's more than Griezmann, it's more than Correa, more than Gamero. You're actually never going to guess who is atop this list.
Probably Carrasco.
He's second.
Maybe?
He's second. Ooh, at 2.7.
Who's atop this list? I don't know.
It's Vieto.
Oh, really?
At 2.8, yeah.
Wow.
Which is actually kind of sad, because he's averaging 1.8 penalty area shots per 90 minutes. And he still hasn't scored a goal.
Yeah, he may... Well, maybe he deserves a little bit of the finishing fairy luck, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily trust
finishing
him
fairy.
That. Yeah, that's what it is, right? The finishing fairy. It's only partially a real skill.
So I think we have actually found a use for Nico Gaetan. Simeone is using him as an attacking substitute, which doesn't always make sense in the context of these games and how they go, but part of it is he's trying to build up his confidence. Part of it is he's also, when he's getting opportunities, he's shooting the ball.
Yeah, true. True, which is something that Simeone values. I mean, clearly he instructs a lot of his players just to have a shot. And I know this is somewhat off topic, but there's a player for the Atlanta United MLS team named Yamil Assad, who kind of grew up around Diego Simeone's son. And he said that one of the things he always heard Diego Simeone telling his son is, if you have an opportunity, always take the shot. So clearly that's something that he values as a coach, and that's something that he wants the team to do. We see that with people like Saul and people that just take ridiculous long shots sometimes, which, you know, there's a time and a place for it.
Yeah.
I think there's some positives there for Gaetan. I mean, I think we all hope he does well, but it's weird. For such an experienced and older player, he's just never really, I don't know, he's never really bedded in that well with the team. But, you know, you never know. Some players can surprise you.
No, you never know. And for a few years now, Atleti have been one of the league's best in creating long shots and in scoring from long shots.
Right.
So
Griezmann
especially is one of the best in La Liga at doing that. So I guess this is what Simeone sees in Gaetan, is just a desire to shoot. And, you know, if you take enough shots, surely one of them will go in. So there is some hidden value there, like there was last year with Gaetan's key passes. So it's interesting, and I think we should keep that in mind so we're not all, you know, stunned when Gaetan starts or when Gaetan comes on to play half an hour. It's like, hey, why is he doing this? Well, if you look at the underlying numbers, they're actually not that bad. Even though the eye test says he is not good, the underlying numbers are kind of good.
Yeah, in this instance. Frankly, I mean, I don't particularly have much of a problem with bringing him on instead of Fieto or Torres, even though he's not a striker. But, I don't think you're getting much more attacking output from Fieto or Torres. But,
yeah,
you know,
not
worth a go.
I mean, and you also, and I think this is also an important stat too, unsuccessful touches per 90 minutes. Gaetan is very, very low on this list, so he doesn't lose the ball a whole lot. He's dispossessed 1.6 times per 90 minutes, which isn't that high either. So you're counting on him to keep the ball, and you're counting on him to shoot when he has a chance. Which, okay, that makes some sense.
Yeah, and Atletico certainly value having players that are careful with the ball, because their kind of defensive strategy relies on them having a breather at some point or another.
It kind of relies on it.
Yeah, big time.
The last, I guess, curious substitute thing, Augusto. He once again did not play Simeone during his pre-match presser. Talked about how I can't English.
You're good. You got it.
Thanks for the encouragement. But Simeone talked before the game about Augusto and how he's ready to go, and he hasn't played in 13 months. It's time to get him some action. I thought this was a perfect opportunity to get him some action. I know it's at Balaidos. I know the Celta fans still don't like him for the way he left for Atletico, but he's got to play at some point. He's probably going to play against Elche on Wednesday. But I thought this was kind of a good time to get him on, and I don't think the Felipe sub was necessary. I thought this was more an opportunity for Augusto, or it should have been.
Yeah, I didn't really get the Felipe Luis substitution either. I think Lucas had done a fine job at left back, and I don't really think it was necessary to bring Felipe Luis on. And, you know, I mean, hell, we're already playing three central midfielders in the team. Might as well chuck on another one, take one of them off, and the three central midfielders that were playing all got booked. And frankly, I was kind of surprised that one or two of them didn't get sent off.
So. Yeah, it was a bit risky to have. I know Gabby got booked, and Gabby almost conceded a penalty. He should have conceded a penalty for a handball in the box.
Agreed.
Tomas got booked.
Tomas got booked, and
Saul got booked, but you can't take Saul off because he's too valuable. Yeah, but Tomas would have been probably a candidate to come off there. Yeah, 5 yellow cards in this game.
Yeah, there were
lots more fouls.
It was a chippy game. It was a chippy game.
It was pretty brutal. But Atletico got the win, as somewhat unsatisfying as it may be, and as much as the concerns are still there, this is something you got to build on. After Elche on Wednesday, Atleti have 6 of the following 8 games at home. So this has got to be a springboard.
It has to be, and with Valencia looking so good, I mean, that was kind of an unexpected wrench thrown to Atleti's plans. I mean, I think they kind of thought they could hang around in that top 3 and just be fine, but they're going to have to grind to get back in there because
right now
they're in fourth, which isn't bad, but they need to make up some ground.
Yeah, for now it looks like Valencia are going to be in the top four to stay. It certainly looks that way. I mean, things can change very quickly, as we saw with Sevilla last season. But Atleti are still one of three unbeaten teams in La Liga with Barca and Valencia. And yeah, I know it seems surprising, but that's where we're at through 9 weeks. Atleti's still unbeaten. They're one of, I think, seven teams across Europe that hasn't lost in league play yet. So whatever that is good for.
Yeah, and I think Valencia probably will be in that top four. I think Sevilla are not that good. Even though, their results haven't been great, but I think their results have kind of been kind, even if they have been I don't really see anyone else challenging for that fourth spot. Maybe Villarreal, but, I don't see Leganés hanging around there for the whole season.
Yeah, Sevilla, maybe I'm crazy. Sevilla are hurting. Like, Jose Castro, their president, is under investigation for some financial irregularities, so things are just going great there.
Yeah, not a good time.
Not a good time.
It's going to be difficult. It's an interesting, actually, top four race this year. I mean, if you're looking at historically, I mean, these are the big four of La Liga, historically speaking. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool that these are the four that are in the race for it, obviously. Yeah. We'd like some new blood, but it's exciting for sure.
I mean, Leganés are fifth. There's your new blood.
Yeah, there we go. The cucumber farmers, they can take Barcelona's place in the future. Hopefully.
Oh, or Madrid.
That would be fine too.
The next big Madrid side. Last note from this game, Atleti unbeaten in their first eight away from home in all competitions. That is their best start to a season since 1957.
Wow.
That's pretty good. And overall in league play, Atleti are on a 17 game unbeaten run, of course, with 9 wins and 8 draws. But it's a 17-game unbeaten run. Last time Atleti lost away from home was December 12th against Villarreal.
And we also – and Godin equaled the appearance record for this, right? For foreign player.
Luis Perez's all-time record for foreign-born appearances at 314. He will almost certainly take over that record for himself against Villarreal next weekend.
Yeah, his former club, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That is.
Godin, obviously, he's been immense. I don't see how he's not going to play for pretty much every game this season.
No.
But hopefully we can figure out a decent partner for him because, I mean, Savages look good in spells, but I'm really kind of getting to the point where either just put Josemar or Lucas next to him. It's for the future. You got to do it.
Yeah, I think Savage deserved another start after how well he did against Barca, but he did not play well here. So he probably will be out of the team against Elche and possibly against Villarreal. I mean, we'll see how the Elche game goes. We'll see what Simeone tries to put out there. I think it's away at Elche. Elche are not like – this isn't like a Segunda B side here. This is a team that was in La Liga as recently as 2015.
Yeah.
So I think this is potentially a little tricky. And the only reason Elche went down is because of administrative issues. They fell
out. Yeah, I was just about to say that. They didn't get relegated, and Eibar got saved because of it.
They were 13th that year, but they went down because they couldn't pay the tax man. And they've been languishing in Segunda ever since, which is really unfortunate for them because they were a pretty good team that year.
Worked out good for Eibar, didn't it? Hell.
Oh, yeah. They got an extra couple years in La Liga.
Yeah, that was the season when Jonathas was killing everyone for Getafe.
Yeah, I just looked him up, and he is now at Hanover.
Wow.
Yeah, because
that's random.
He went to Real Sociedad for 15, 16, didn't do that great. Then he went to Russia, now he's in Germany.
Oh, yeah, he was one of those guys that went to Russia with that old Malaga manager, Javi Gracia.
Javi Gracia, yeah.
Yeah. Weird one. But and it's also Saul's other club that he loves.
Yeah, Saul is from Elche. I think one of his brothers, Aaron, I think he did play there. No, he's at Oviedo now, but he was at Elche for a couple of years earlier in the decade.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. I'm kind of hoping that we get to see – I think Augusto should certainly get a start, if not just some minutes at the very least in that one. But I'd also maybe like to see some of the youth team players included, just because, I don't know, the first team hasn't been that impressive. So just to see what some of the younger guys can do in a tough game would be interesting.
And this is usually what Cholo does in the early rounds of the Copa del Rey. He gives starts, gives appearances to the youth team players. So Juan Moreno could be called up, Katie Barre could be called up, Sergio Dominguez could be called up. There's just not really much sense. As much as Simeone has rotated, it makes more sense to keep rotating rather than put out a squad of relative strength against, you know, Elche are, I don't think this is going to be a walk in the park, because Elche are not like, you know, Royce or the Ham team Atletico played last year, whose name I can't remember right now. But this isn't going to be a walk in the park.
Right, yeah, it's not going to be an easy one, but it's certainly one that Atleti should hope to win. I imagine Simeone will do a pretty good mix of first-team players that need some game time and some of the younger players. I think Gaetan will probably start, maybe Vieto as well.
Be a really good chance for Vieto to get his first goal.
Big time. I think this would be the game where he needs to really show something, because this may be one of his few chances in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
Especially with Gamero back to full fitness and scoring again.
Indeed. A couple news items to wrap up. Gabby set to renew his contract in the coming days. This was in AS over the weekend. Set to get another one-year renewal to carry him through to the end of next season. Good news?
Yeah, I think it's good news. I think it's like, it's a strange one, because he's been sort of in and out in terms of being a substitute this year. But, I don't know. I think it's worth to keep around for another year, especially for leadership stuff.
Yeah, he still has value there. And despite his being phased out, his phasing out process has started, he still has a lot of value. So I don't think it's bad to renew him for a year. And do it on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah, and with players in their mid-30s, you kind of have to do that sort of thing once they get over the 30 mark.
Yeah, Jose Jimenez being linked with a move away once again. Juventus in for him once again. Manchester United in for him once again.
Shocking. The merry-go-round keeps going.
Yeah, it's interesting. This report was in Calcio Mercato earlier over the weekend, and they say Jimenez has a contract to 2021, which is not true. Jimenez's contract runs out next summer, unless there's something everyone in the Atletico sphere has missed.
Yeah, and that's a bit of a weird one. Contracts, it's kind of an annoying thing to have to report on with football contracts, because they're so shady and you never know like what small stipulations are in there, but I mean, it's weird that there's just been absolutely no movement on his contract. I mean, I actually kind of think that transfer rumors are good things. It means probably that at least there's talks for a renewal. maybe agents generally put these things out.
Maybe his contract has already been renewed, just like it there was no announcement about it.
Yeah, and I don't see why they would do that.
No.
But, yeah, that's a weird one. It's annoying because he's not a player that I would mind losing, but I would mind losing him for free.
Oh, for
if you
sure.
know what I mean.
Yeah, and his buyout clause is $65 million, and if Atleti choose to sell him, they have to do it soon. If they're not going to renew him, or maybe they have renewed him. Who knows? This is fun.
It could be anything, but I don't see them getting anywhere near $65 million with less than a year on his contract.
Yeah. And they should, and at sense. This point, when you're knee-deep into the season already, why would you sell him?
I've always thought the Manchester United link felt fairly legit to me. They've had center-back problems for a while, and he kind of seems like a very Mourinho sort of player.
Oh, come on, you have Phil Jones there. Chris Smalling.
You know, honestly, there's a bit of a similarity between Phil Jones and Jose Jimenez. Can be really good defenders, but also do stupid things a lot of the time. So, not dissimilar.
Jose Jimenez, the Uruguayan Phil Jones.
Yeah, now he just has to do that thing where he's like lying prone and heads the ball. We just need one of those now.
That's the next step in his evolution.
Come on, Jose Maha.
All right, that's it. We're done here. So that is Rob Walker. Rob, thank you so much for coming on the program today.
Always a pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03, R-W-A-L-K-03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaren, J-B-B-E-R-E-N. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and or TuneIn. Please leave a rating and a review on iTunes. Helps us get eyes and ears on the program. And finally, head over to patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat if you're interested in becoming a patron. Patrons get a lot of cool benefits, such as images of the podcasting process, video of the podcasting process. Also, Patreon-exclusive episodes centering on an Atletico topic of their choosing. So, also early access to certain episodes of the program. Not this one in particular, but other episodes you will get early access to if you become a patron. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat, the place to be for all that good stuff. We'll be back Thursday to talk Copa del Rey against Elche, La Liga against Villarreal. Until then, adios.